Our message reading for today is from Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Writing to the church in Colossae, Paul writes, "You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. As we transition into our message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides, pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas in the message. There's a spot to jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear, what do you feel like God is saying to you? How God is calling you to respond? So hopefully you can engage with me in that. And now I want to invite you to engage with me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace, so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. This summer, we've been focusing on the heart. It started with a series called Head to Heart to Hands, in which we looked at five principles from the Bible that transform the way we think, feel, and act. Together, they spell the word heart. H, he, God owns it all. E, every day is an opportunity. A, action is required. R, remember your blessings. And T, thank God. We kept the heart theme going with our current series, which is called Pulse, where we're looking at five more concepts that align our heart with the pulse of the gospel. And so far, we've looked at the first four letters of Pulse. P, paying attention. U, understanding empathically. L, loving with connection. And S, sensing the sacred. Today, we wrap up our heart theme with the final letter in Pulse, E, embodying new life. The concept of embodying new life brought to mind a young girl I met while I was in my internship congregation. The girl was born with a severe bent in her spine. For the first 8 years of her life, she walked bent way over to the left. Finally, her parents found a surgeon who could straighten her spine. The surgery was a huge success. The journey of transformation, however, had only just begun. You see, that little girl had grown accustomed to walking with a bent. Even with a new spine, every fiber of her being was drawn back to those old patterns. Left unchecked, she would have reverted to walking like she did before the surgery. And to make sure that didn't happen, the girl was brought to a physical therapist who led her through some exercises to develop new patterns. and embody the new life that she'd been given. There's lots of parallels between that little girl's journey of physical transformation and the journey of spiritual transformation that we heard described in our readings for today. Like the girl had a bent in her spine, we have a bent in our heart. From the very first moment that people chose to disobey God, our hearts have been bent away from God and bent toward sinful patterns that hurt God, hurt others, and hurt ourselves. And as a result, our hearts become like stone, hardened, cold, unresponsive to God's love and the needs of God's people. We don't have to look very far to see these destructive patterns playing out in our world today. Thankfully, God offers us the opportunity to have a new life. But in order for us to embody new life, we need the same two things that that little girl needed. First, we need a surgeon who can operate on our heart. But that's not all we need. Because just like that little girl, we grow accustomed to our unhealthy patterns. And even with a new heart, every fiber of our being, every fabric of our environment draws us back to old sinful patterns. And that's why we need a physical therapist, or maybe in this case, we should say a spiritual therapist who can lead us through exercises to develop new patterns and embody the new life that we've been given. God has provided us with both. God sent his son Jesus to be our heart surgeon, and he sends his Holy Spirit to be our spiritual therapist. And I'd like to explore this good news with you so that we all can receive a new heart and embody new life. In our first reading from Ezekiel, we heard God promise to give a new heart and a new spirit to his people. And in our second reading from Colossians, we heard how God fulfills his promises in our life. And I want to invite you to turn to the book of Colossians. You can find it on page 1831 in your pew Bibles or by scrolling to the middle of the New Testament in your Good Shepherd app. And while you turn there, I'll give you a little bit of context. The book of Colossians is actually a letter that was written from the Apostle Paul to an early Christian church in Colossae, located where modern-day Turkey is today. And Paul was writing this letter from prison, a detail that already describes the transformation that has taken place in Paul's life. You may know that Paul didn't start out as a follower of Jesus. He started out hunting followers of Jesus to arrest them, torture them, throw them in prison. But Paul had an encounter with Jesus that changed everything. And now this same guy is willing to be thrown in prison for the sake of spreading the gospel. And even prison can't stop him. While he's in prison, he's writing letters to encourage and instruct Christian communities around the world, many of whom were started because of his missionary travels. And the Colossian church was started by a man named Epaphras, who came to faith in Jesus during one of Paul's missionary travels through Asia. Epaphras took the good news back to his hometown of Colossae, started a church. This letter was prompted by a visit from Epaphras. Epaphras told Paul that this young church was facing trials, false teachings, temptations. And as a result, they were being drawn back to old sinful patterns. And so Paul writes to this community to remind them about the good news of Jesus and to engage them in some spiritual therapy exercises. And we're going to highlight some of the elements of this letter that are relevant and applicable to our lives. Paul begins his letter with the gospel, or the good news about Jesus. Jesus is the heart surgeon that God promised, who can remove our heart of stone and give us a new heart. So get a few places in Paul's letter where he proclaims this good news. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. For he, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1, 21 to 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Finally, Colossians 2, 13 to 14. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Jesus is an amazing surgeon. He was willing to be pierced so that we could be healed. He was willing to die so that we could be made alive. And it was on the cross that Jesus took all our sin, all our guilt, all our shame, all our punishment on himself so that he could nail it to the cross and offer us God's gifts of forgiveness and eternal life. And when we place our faith in Jesus and open our heart to him, he removes our heart of stone and gives us a brand new heart, a heart that is cleansed, a heart that is pure, a heart that is holy, a heart that beats in sync with God's heart. And here's the best thing. The surgery, totally free and available to anyone, no matter who you are or what you've done. You don't have to schedule an appointment. There's no wait time. If you've never before placed your faith in Jesus or opened your heart to him, you can do it today, right now. And he will remove your heart of stone and give you a brand new heart. If that's something that you'd like to do, please let me know on your response card so I can celebrate with you and help support you on this journey. And while the process of transformation begins here, it doesn't end here. Because you see, just like that girl, we grow accustomed to sinful patterns. And even with a new heart, we are drawn back to old sinful patterns. And there's all kinds of forces, internal, external, that draw us back. Just our sinful nature can draw us back. But then on the outside, we face trials, temptations, false teachings that try to lure us away from Jesus. And that's why we need a spiritual therapist who can lead us through exercises to develop new patterns and embody the new life that we've been given. God takes care of this need as well. First, God sent the surgeon, and then he sent his Holy Spirit to be our spiritual therapist. In our first reading from Ezekiel, we heard God's promise. He said, "And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." And then Paul reveals how God fulfills this promise in Colossians 1, 9 through 11. He writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." The Holy Spirit is a nice spiritual therapist. Have any of you ever been through physical therapy? Yeah, I have. It is hard, painful work. Normally, physical therapists, they'll give you all kinds of exercises to do and then leave you to struggle through them on your own. Not the Holy Spirit. And don't get me wrong, spiritual therapy can be painful and hard work at times. But the Spirit is always there to help us and give us all the power we need to do the hard work that God calls us to do. And as Paul continues his letter, he shares many spiritual therapy exercises. And for the sake of time, I want to share three with you. One for the head, one for the heart, and one for the hands. The first spiritual therapy exercise is for our head, or our thoughts. In Colossians 3:2, Paul writes, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Paul encourages us to set our mind on godly things, not on earthly things. We can get distracted by earthly things. It's kind of like the dog in the movie Up. Have any of you seen that movie? Every time the squirrel passes by the dog, he gets distracted and he yells, "Squirrel!" We can be like that too. We get distracted by all kinds of things. It might be like the Colossian church and we get distracted by trials, by false teachings, by temptations. But more often, it's the little everyday things that distract us. Work, even church work. Shopping, house projects, vacations, car repairs, laundry, outings, activities, entertainment, education, hobbies, family, health, vacations, savings, and retirement plans. Squirrel! It's not that we can't think about these things, but if left unchecked, they can distract us from the main thing. So we set our mind on things above. In his letter, Paul lifts up some therapy tools that can help us set our mind on things above. Scripture, teaching, worship music, prayer. We gather every week as a church so that we can incorporate these tools into our spiritual therapy program. But we need these tools every day so that we don't lose focus. Just to give you a snapshot from my life, I get up early in the morning so I can spend time reading the Bible and praying before I begin my day. I share what I've read with my family at the breakfast table so that we can set our mind on godly things. Throughout the day, I listen to worship music to help me keep focused on God. I set alarms to remind me periodically throughout the day to set my mind on things above. These are all vital tools in my spiritual therapy program. If you need help incorporating these tools in your life, just let me know on your response card and I'll share some of the things that I've been learning along the way. We need to practice this exercise daily, multiple times a day. And here are some questions to work through. What is at the top of my mind? Am I thinking more about my agenda or God's agenda? More about my will or God's will? More about building my kingdom or God's kingdom? More about my needs or the needs of others? Am I thinking like God or like the world? What would God want me to be thinking about right now? If we find that our thoughts are distracted, we adjust and set our mind on things above. The next spiritual therapy exercise is for our hearts or our emotions. In Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful." The word rule comes from the language of sports. It literally means to umpire. My son and I have been watching baseball games together. In one of the games, a player was mouthing off to the umpire. He raised the red flag, threw him out of the game. The umpire gets to do that. The umpire gets to call what goes and what doesn't go in a game. And if there's a player or coach who's out of line, the umpire can eject them. This gave me a new perspective on Paul's words. In essence, Paul's saying, let Jesus be the umpire of your heart. We can't always control what emotions we feel. But if left unchecked, our emotions can control us. Rather than letting our emotions rule our lives, we can bring them before Jesus for his ruling. That way, if there's any emotion that threatens our peace with God, our peace with others, our peace with ourselves, Jesus can raise the red flag and the Spirit can help us eject it from our hearts. So for example, if we feel unloved or unlovable, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, you are chosen, holy, and dearly loved, Colossians 3:12. Or if we feel like we're falling apart, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, I am before all things, and in me all things hold together, Colossians 1:17. Or if we're harboring ill feelings towards others, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, Colossians 2:2. Or if we're feeling down about what we don't have, Jesus can raise the red flag and say, no, be grateful, be thankful for everything you do have in me. We need to practice this exercise every day, multiple times a day. And here are some questions to work through. What am I feeling right now? Do my feelings line up with God's word, or are they out of line? Do my feelings promote or threaten peace with God, peace with others, or peace with myself? How can I deal with my emotions in a healthy way so they do not control me? And what would Jesus want me to feel right now? If we find that our emotions are out of line, we adjust and we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. One more. The third spiritual therapy exercise is for our hands or for our actions. In Colossians 3:17, Paul writes, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." As followers of Jesus, we represent Jesus in all we say and do. Our communications director recently gave a caution to our staff about social media. She said, whenever you post, whether it's a picture or a comment, you are not just representing yourself. You are representing Good Shepherd. And you are representing Jesus. And Paul gives the same caution to all of us. He said, whether you realize it or not, you are representing Jesus in everything you say and everything you do. Therefore, we should be careful to choose words that match the one we worship. We should be very careful to choose behaviors that match our Savior. And Paul gives us another analogy to help practice this exercise. This time he uses the analogy of removing clothes and putting clothes on. I like this because we make intentional choices every day about our clothing, multiple times a day. And we should be just as intentional when choosing our words and our behaviors. Removing items that do not represent Jesus well and putting on items that do. We heard Paul's advice in our second reading, but I want to share it again. Please listen very carefully. We are to remove sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. We are to remove anger, rage, meanness, lying, slander, and filthy language from our lips. And instead, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, in patience. We are to bear with each other and forgive as the Lord forgave us. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul encourages us to practice this intentionality in every interaction, whether it be with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our church members, with people of different races and cultures, with people who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, and even with our enemies. This has huge implications for our world today. Amidst all the hateful words and deeds going around, followers of Jesus are called to a higher standard. We are to shine the light of Jesus' love. We are to treat all people the way that Jesus treats us, with compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. We are to speak up for what's right, yet season our words with grace. We are to expose evil and unjust patterns and systems, yet do it in a way that is holy and just. We are to tear down dividing walls and build bridges. I know this is not easy, But with practice and with the help of God's Spirit, it is possible. I recently heard Immaculée Ilibagiza speak. If you don't know her story, her entire family was killed in the Rwandan genocide. Her life was spared by a Christian man, and she ended up placing her faith in Jesus. But when she read Jesus' command to forgive her enemies, she just could not imagine forgiving those who killed her family and her people. She kept pushing it off, pushing it off, pushing it off, until finally she realized that her bitterness was holding her prisoner and poisoning her life. And so she asked God to help her forgive. And God did. Ironically, she went to a prison to visit a man who had taken part in killing her family. She offered him forgiveness. And now she serves as an advocate for peace and reconciliation around the world. Talk about embodying new life. We need to practice this exercise every day, multiple times a day. And here are some questions to work through. Do my words match the one I worship? Is there any lying, slander, or filthy language that I need to remove from my vocabulary? Does my behavior match my Savior? Is there any sexual immorality, impurity, lust, greed, anger, rage, or meanness that I need to remove from my conduct? And what would Jesus want me to say or do right now to represent his compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness? If we find that our words or actions don't match with Jesus, we adjust. And we do everything in the name of Jesus. So as we've seen this morning, spiritual transformation is a process. It begins by placing our faith in Jesus and opening our heart to him so that he can give us a new heart. But it doesn't stop there. It can't stop there, or we revert back to our old sinful patterns. And this process, it continues every day, all of our life, as we practice spiritual therapy exercises to develop new patterns and embody the new life we've been given. So I want to challenge all of us this week, just this week, try it. Try practicing these three exercises every single day. Set your mind on things above. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart and do everything in the name of Jesus. It's not easy, but it's worth it. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us every step of the way. I also want to support and encourage you on this journey. And at the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. Take some time to reflect on how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. Check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, then you can put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. If you have a smartphone, you can just place your camera right over that code at the top, and it'll take you to an online response card that you can do from your phone. I'll give you a few minutes with God and then close us in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we recognize and confess that our hearts are bent away from you, bent towards sinful, destructive patterns. Thank you so much for offering us the opportunity to have a new life. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our heart surgeon and give us a new heart. God, I pray that if there's anybody here today who's never before placed their faith in Jesus and opened their heart to you, that they would make today their day to do that so he can remove their heart of stone and give them a new heart. And God, we know that the process can't stop there or we'll revert back. And we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to be our spiritual therapist. Give us courage, wisdom, and power this week to practice your spiritual therapy exercises so that we might develop new patterns and embody the new life that you give to us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.